Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special Aseres Yemei Teshuva Shir. I want to thank my friend Jordana Spector for inviting me to speak and putting this whole thing together and the arrangements and the sisterhoods of the different shuls. I want to thank my friend Malki Spector, who came all the way from Lawrence, New York, to be here this evening, and my son Yonatan, who's not currently in the room, for accompanying me so I wouldn't be driving back and forth alone. Okay, so welcome, everybody. We are in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Just a note, something I'd like to try and keep in mind. Today was 7 Tishrei, Zion Tishrei. It was the yurtzeit of Ari Fold, Zichrono Levracha, Hashem Yinkom Damo. If you recall, Ari, the Lion of Zion, today was, I believe it was his 4th yurtzeit. We should all be stirred to the ultimate teshuva with the ultimate geula be'ezor Hashem. So let us talk me'inyanei diyoma and the idea of teshuva and take a look at three different, could everyone hear me? Could you hear me that again? Take a look at three different biblical personalities and three different biblical narratives that teach us what it means to be involved in the act of teshuva. Teshuva, according to many, is a mitzvah de'oraisa, a biblical mitzvah that is found in Parshas Nitzavim, which we read the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, in Perek Lamed. Ki a mitzvah zor asher nochi mitzav chayom lo rechokehi mimcha v'lo niflesi, ki kara ve'elacha davar me'ar b'ficho b'vav chala. So this mitzvah of teshuva, of repentance that I command you, it's not far away from you, it's not a wonder for from you, it is very, very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do. And this is the mitzvah of teshuva, repenting and returning from our ways of error and coming back close to God. Something that I've mentioned in a number of shiurim already is that a friend from someone who learns with me on Zoom / listens to my shiurim online, Meg pointed out to me that to be a chozer b'teshuva is to be close to God. When you repent, you come close to Hashem once again. Ki karov elacha hadavar me'od, parshas nitzavim, perak lamed, pasuk yudalad. The matter is very close to you, beficha in your mouth, ubilvavcha in your heart, lasoso. She pointed out to me that the root word, if you've ever learned with me, I focus very much on root words in Chumash, in telling us a message. The root word for teshuva, shin bet, shav, is the same gematria as karav. It's not an accident. If you look in Perek Lamed, you will see over and over the root word of shav, teshuva, ki tashuv al Hashem elokecha, v'shamata b'kolo, shav, teshuva, return, repent, come close to God, have a seat in his house, shifti b'veis Hashem. Shav is 302 in Gemara. Karav, ki karov elacha, davar me'od, is the same gematria. This is not an accident because God doesn't make accidents in the Chumash. So to repent and to come close to God is one and the same. Karav, you want to be close to God? Shav, return and repentance. What does it mean to do teshuva? There are 4 halachic stages, according to the Rambam, of what it means to do teshuva. It's not like some nice idea. It is a halachic process delineated by Maimonides in Mishnah Torah Hilchos Teshuva Perek Beis of how you must repent. So there are 4 stages. Let's say you're doing something wrong, and you know you're doing something wrong, and you want to come back, come close to God. We just had Shabbos Shuvah. These 10 days are when we're supposed to be thinking about this more than the rest of the year. So what does it mean? So the first stage of Teshuvah is what the Rambam calls Azivat HaChet. What does it mean, Azivat HaChet? Or Azivat HaChet? You have to leave the sin. If you don't leave the sin, then you cannot be a chozer b'teshuvah. So it's very nice to be thinking, I don't know, I shouldn't be eating 10 donuts on Hanukkah, but if you don't leave the 10 donuts on Hanukkah, then it only stays in your mind and it doesn't become an action. You need to do something concrete, which is leaving the sin. I also forgot to mention that not only did Jordana invite me to speak, and her mother, my dear friend, is here all the way from Lawrence, but my mother, she should live and be well, has a friend here in the audience who is friends with my mother since they were children. And every year, Mindy and I spend Shavuos together on the Shavuos Yarchei Kala for the last 5 years. I was so excited when I walked in. I said to my son, this is Bubby's friend from when? And she said, from when we were children. So it's also an honor. My mother's going to be very excited that you are here with us this evening. So the first stage is azivat hachet. You have to leave the sin. You can know you should eat healthier. You know 10 donuts isn't good for you. You know you shouldn't really be doing this. You know, there's a contest that some kids have for every day of Hanukkah. That's how many donuts you need to eat. So on the first day, you eat 1. On the second day, you eat 2. And on the 8th day, you're supposed to. It's a joke. Don't do this. Bad advice. Eat 8 donuts. So you know it's not good for you. But you can't say, I am a chozer b'teshuva while you're eating the donuts. So it doesn't work like that. So the first stage of teshuva, again, Rambam, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Beis, is azivat hachi. You got to leave the sin. When you stop doing the Aveira, okay, you spend the whole day posting Lashon Hara on WhatsApp chat. So now, I'm not saying anyone here does that, but then you have to leave the sin. So that's first of all, azivat hachi. The second stage of teshuva is what Rambam calls Kabbalah al ha'atir, or Kabbalah al ha'asid. What does that mean? I resolve for the future, I'm not going to do it again. So it's very nice that today I didn't eat 6 donuts on the 6th day of Hanukkah. So I left the sin, but I also have to resolve for day 7 that I'm not going to eat. 7 donuts today. So azivat hachay means I left the sin now, but you also need Kabbalah al ha'atir, which means I'm not going to do it in the future. So I've refrained from posting something not nice on the WhatsApp chat, whether it's an inappropriate meme or bad language, or I'm making fun of somebody else. So right now I left the sin. But that means tomorrow, or never mind tomorrow, in an hour when I check WhatsApp again, or in 5 minutes when I check WhatsApp again, Kabbalah al ha'atir, I'm not going to do it again in the future. Okay? Yes? Good? Azivat hachay, again, these are halachic. The Rambam's Mishneh Torah is not a philosophical work. It's not Mora Nevuchim. It's a magnum opus of halacha, of how a Jew must live their lives. So it's not enough to say in your head, oh, it's very nice, it's that Sarah she made teshuvah, now I want to do teshuvah. Halachically, in concrete stages, a Jew must do this process of repentance, karav shav, to return unto God is to be close to God, and choose a specific one area to work on. Everyone knows what their own area is. I have no idea what your weakness is. I know plenty of my own weaknesses. But we have to be doing something concrete to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that somehow I am trying. So azivat hachay, now I have Kabbalah al ha'atid. I resolve for the future that I'm never going to do this again. Then I have charata. Mitnachem al ha'avar, says the Rambam. You have to regret what you did. You should feel bad, a sense of remorse, a sense of shame. You recognize it wasn't healthy for me to increase the amount of donuts that I ate every day, and I feel bad that I did it. So it doesn't mean when it comes to sin, it's a fine line between healthy charata, healthy regret, which spurs you to be better in the future, and self-abuse. You're an idiot. Why did you do that? How could you have done such a thing? God never wants to hear from you again. It was a horrible thing to do. How could you have said that? How could you have screamed at the kids? So what if she's having a tantrum? I should have had a little more patience. I should have left the room. I'm such a horrible mother. She never wants me to read our bedtime story again. There's a very fine line between a healthy sense of regret that spurs me to improve myself and a sense of failure where I become stuck in a pattern of, I don't want to use the word self-hatred because that's a very strong word, but a sense of despair in I can never be better. I just regret everything about my life and everything who I am. That's a tool of the Yetzer Hara. So when the Rambam says, mitnachem al ha'avar, you have to change your mind about your future. It means a recognition that it was not the right thing to do. It was the wrong thing to do, but not to become stuck in the trap of the Yetzer Hara where I'm beating myself up so much that I can't move forward. And if you have a little voice inside of you that ever wants to make you feel really bad, you're familiar with this guy who comes along and says, you can't be better, you can't improve, you always speak Lashon Hara, you every year eat 10 donuts, so I know you're going to do it again this year. He is not your friend, and he wants you to get stuck in the pattern of yeush, despair that I can never be better. That's not healthy charata. Healthy charata is I feel bad. The Torah says, Lo seideich v'chil b'mecha, parshas kedoshim, perek yitas, verse 16, you should not be a gossip monger amongst your people, so I shouldn't have done it. The Torah says, V'nishmartem al v'nafsho seichem, I believe it's in Devarim perek dalet, you should take very good care of your soul, so I shouldn't eat one donut per day, but now that I did it, now that I can't take it back for the past, I can change it for the future. And this applies to everything in our life, interpersonal relationships, relationships between us and God. There's a healthy sense of charata that a person must have. So are you with me? I'd just like to make sure that my recorder's working. And it is, Baruch Hashem. So we have azivat hachet, leaving the sin. Kabbalah al ha'atid, resolve for the future. Charata, a healthy sense, a normal, balanced sense of regret. And finally, what is the final stage? So according to the Rambam, the climax of teshuva is what we are going to do on Yom Kippurim multiple times, and that's vidui, oral confession. It takes great courage, says Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, for a person to self-accuse. When you confess, It's easy to say the person next to you, she ate 10 donuts. You should see what she posted on WhatsApp yesterday. You should see how I saw her screaming at her kids when she was waiting for the bus. It's very easy to say when I'm clapping an alchei to think about the person next to me. The final stage of teshuva is called vidui. Vidui is the oral confession that I sinned. I am wrong. So you have these stages of teshuva according to the Rambam, and vidui is the climax. Again, going back to the pasuk from Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, pasuk Gedalet, which was the parsha that was read right before Rosh Hashanah, ki karav eilacha hadavar me'od, karov, karav, the matter of teshuva is very, very close to you. Shav, karav, same gematria, beficha, in your mouth, vidui, ubel vavcha, in your heart, resolve for the future, regret over the past, changing my ways, la soso, implement change. You can implement change. We are not animals that are driven by instinct. You know, my son and I were driving here. We weren't even like, a couple summers ago, I was coming back with Melissa from Camp Katy. And we nicked the side of a deer, remember? The back of a deer. It was so scary. Since then, I'm terrified of driving on country roads at night. Baruch Hashem, we were fine. The deer was fine. It was only the rear hind of the deer. I literally have a lot of anxiety driving in the roads at night, late at night. I really was thankful my son was with me. But we weren't even on the highway. We were off the highway. You have deer here. Yes, you know? My gosh. Two huge male deer with antlers, huge antlers, two bucks. I was like, I'm not even on the highway. One in the middle of the road, one on the side of the road. Why did I bring this up? Because it was scary for me. What was I saying in the shir? That had to do with the deer. I don't know. No, really, what was I saying? La so-so?
We're not animals.
That what?
We're not animals.
Thank you. Animals go according to instinct. So when they have to migrate, the wildebeest across the Masai Mara River, they just have to migrate. They can't say to themselves, well, there are lions waiting on the riverbank, if you've ever watched nature documentaries, and there are lions on the riverbank, and there's alligators waiting in the river, so maybe this year we're not going to migrate across the river. No. They're going to go hundreds of thousands of wildebeest, and some of them are either going to be eaten by the lions, drowned in the river, pulled down by that. So why are you doing that? Don't do that. There's enemies on your path. They have instinct, and they have to go. A human being is not like that. Every single thing we do is a choice. The pasuk says at the end of Nitzavim, You have a choice. Ubacharta, choose. La asoso, implement change. Ki karav eilacha hadavar me'od. What's close to you? What's karav? Kuf reish bet, 302. What's karav? Shav, teshuva, shin bet. Same gematria. Ki karav eilacha hadavar me'od. The matter of teshuva is very close to you. Again, this is lamid, yodalad, and devarim. Beficha, oral confession. Ubil vavcha, what's in your heart? Regret over the past, leaving the sin, resolve for the future. La asoso. Implement the change. You can do it. To do. Be an active person. You're not a butterfly or a wildebeest or a buck on the road in the outskirts of a community. Teaneck, New Jersey. You can choose where you want to go, what you want to do, what you will eat, what you will post, what you will say, how you interact with your children and your people around you. These are the four stages of teshuva. Azivat hachei, kabbalah al ha'atid, charata vidui, la asoso. There is a fifth stage of teshuvah that the Rambam begins speaking about in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, and that is asking mechila from your friend. Because the Mishnah tells us in Yuma, Parak Ches Mishnah Tes, E Aveiros Shevein Adam L'makom Yom Kippurim Mechaper. It's the last Mishnah in all of Maseches Yuma, Mishnayos. So if you did real teshuvah, you were mechal Shabbos your whole life, let's say, okay? I don't believe that applies to anyone here in this room, deliberately, and you are a chozer b'teshuvah in elo tafshin pei beis, a real chozer b'teshuvah. You go through this process of teshuvah, you learn under a rav, you regret, vijay, yame kippurim mechaper. It's like you never did that before. But, Avero shaven adam lachavero, en yama kippurim mechaper ad sheyiratzas chavero. When it comes to sins between man and fellow man, Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, is not mechaper. It does not give atonement. Ad sheyiratzes chaveiro, until he appeases his friend. La'olam, the Rambam adds, forever. There's no kapara on the Day of Atonement for sins ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and fellow man. You insulted someone, you embarrassed somebody, you stole from someone, you hurt someone, you injured them, you shamed them, you spoke the Lashon Hara, you posted a joke on the WhatsApp chat that you thought was funny and everyone else is making fun of this other person. There's never kapara on Yom Kippurim for aveiros ben adam l'chaveiro until you appease your friend. That's the fifth stage of teshuvah, according to the Rambam, for sins between man and fellow man. So, azivat hachei, kabbalah al ha'atid, charata, vidui, asking mechila, yiratzas chavero, appeasing your friend. There's one caveat, I will tell you something interesting. Someone came to me this summer, a person who's close to me through my shiurim. That's totally anonymous because Baruch Hashem, there are many people close to me through my shiurim. And she had a very significant shayla, Bein Adam Echaveiro. Very, very significant shayla Bein Adam Echaveiro. And she came to me. I'm not a rabbi, and she's aware of that. I don't paskin any halacha. So I said, I'm going to ask my Das Torah. She said, yes. So I spoke to Rabbi Shai Shachter about this without giving over her name or any information. So he actually, it's a very serious shayla, he took it to Rav Herschel Shachter Shlita, his father. Okay, so he came back with what had to be done. Fine. Not fine, but whatever. Hashem should help everyone in the situation to be on the proper path. But the point is that one thing that Rabbi Shai Shachter said to me very, very interestingly when I was speaking to him is that before he took it to his father, Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva, one thing he said before he spoke to his father about it, so we were talking about the Shaila, is that in Bein Adam, and again, you're in a situation, don't come over to me after the Shir and say, I did this and that to my friend, what am I supposed to do? You got to ask your Rav. We're talking about halachic mechila. But one thing he told me, just very interestingly, is that asking forgiveness from your friend is not so simple. If your friend knows that you hurt them, then you have to figure out a way to make amends. In other words, they're aware that you caused them hurt or distress or pain or whatever, then you have to ask mechila. Let's say two people spoke Lashon Hara about a third person, and that third person does not know anything. Somehow, nobody repeated it. Somehow no one took a screenshot and reposted it. Somehow it wasn't put on a public WhatsApp chat. It actually miraculously stayed between the five people at the table, and the person they were speaking about somehow did not hear about it. Unlikely, but possible. What gives you a right to go ask Mechila? Now it's before Yom Kippur. Now you enter Shir. Now you're terrified because the Mishnah says, as codified by the Rambam, that until you ask forgiveness, there's no kapar la'olam. So, oh my God, I don't want to go to Gehenim and I don't want to be put into that book because I insulted my friend. So I'm going to go. I'm going to be such a tzaddikus to say, you know, at the wedding in May, five of us were sitting at the table and this is what we said about you. Now it's Yom Kippur. I have such regret. Could you please grant me Mechila? She somehow does not know you did anything wrong. What's the problem with asking Mechila in this case? You're making someone feel bad. It's Erev Yom Kippur. You're actually causing pain because Rabbi Shai Shachter said to me, you want to cleanse your guilty conscience. So you go and say, oh, listen, what? You can't just do a generic Mechila, you know, on WhatsApp status. Anyone that I insulted over the past year, please forgive me. That's Bubaman says. That is not real Mechila. That's certainly not what Chazal, the Mishnah, or the Rambam are speaking about. It has to be sincere. You have to identify the sin. You have to ask repentance. You have to show that you're sorry. So the problem with this case, Rabbi Shachter said, is that to cleanse your guilty conscience, you're actually insulting somebody. So who says you're allowed to do that? So it's a problem. He said to me, Barav Asher, why Shlita says, so does that mean a person can never ask Mechila? So it's a problem. So the moral of the story is don't hurt anyone, ever. It's going to happen because we're human beings, we're not angels. Just like we're not animals, we're also not angels. But it's really complicated. So if you're in such a matzav, please don't come over to me after. I cannot advise you. Ask your rabbi. You should just be aware that the component of Beit Adam Lechaveiro is very crucial to Kapara on Yom Kippur and to the Teshuvah process, but it is not necessarily a smooth and easy process. So now that we outlined all of the stages of Teshuvah and we gave examples to explain what we're speaking about and real life examples as well, let us now talk about the foundation of Teshuvah.
Now, the Rambam doesn't even write the foundation of teshuvah, and perhaps that's because it's so obvious. Without this foundation, a person will never do teshuvah in the first place. What is the foundation of teshuvah? What I call self-awareness. That's the whole foundation upon which all these stages grow from. A tree has roots, and then there are parts of the tree. Well, this it does. Oh, that's a special parochas for the Yamim Naraim, but very often it says Chaim Hilamachazikim Bavasam Chaim Ushar. So a tree has branches, and it has leaves, and it has a bark, and it has, what else does it have? Fruit, and it has buds, but they're roots that give the tree its life and stability. The foundation of the tree are the roots. Everything grows from the foundation. So too with teshuvah. What's the foundation of teshuvah? Self-awareness. From self-awareness, now I could leave the sin. Now I could regret. Now I could resolve for the future. Now I could orally confess. Now I could ask mechila of my friend. If a person's not self-aware that it's not healthy to eat 8 donuts on the 8th day of Chanukah, they're never going to be motivated to not eat 8 donuts on the 8th night of Chanukah. Why not? Because they don't have any self-awareness that what they're doing is wrong. So you might think it doesn't apply to me, but the reality is that it applies to all of us. The Gemara says, Ein Adam Roa Chovel Atzma. I think. Sukkah 52b. Nun Hey Bees. Ein Adam Roa Chovel Atzma. A person does not see their own liability. I see what my friend's doing wrong. I see her mistakes in her relationship with her husband. I see her impatience with her friend. I see her quick Shmona Esrei and Shul. I see she skipped it. It's so easy to see what someone else does wrong. It's very difficult to be honest with ourselves to the point of looking in the mirror and saying, I was wrong. Or even worse, I am wrong. Now, Baruch Hashem, we just made a simcha this summer. So, I don't know. My husband and I said to each other a few times, is there anyone we're forgetting? Is there anyone we're forgetting? And of course, there were people we forgot. But we tried not to. I don't know. We didn't have a master guest. This was the first simcha in Yerbu. So it's been on my mind because there was someone very close. She's a second cousin of mine. We've always been very close to. She's attended all my smachot over the years. We didn't invite her. It was very embarrassing. And a week and a half ago, I sent her a WhatsApp voice message. I said, you know, how are you? I hope you and the family are well. I said, I'm not making excuses. We forgot. I said, Yom Kippur's coming. I'm sorry if you were insulted. She knew through the family grapevine that there was a wedding. I said, I'm really sorry, but Ezra Hashem, we should share future smachot. We tried very hard not to forget people. And, you know, I could have made an excuse. I could have said we were limited by number. I could have said the other side didn't allow X past X amount of people. I said, I'm sorry, it was wrong. We forgot. We look forward to sharing future smecha. We've always been very close. And I asked Mechila. And sometimes it's very hard for a person to admit that they're wrong because it's much easier to want to blame somebody else. You know, I could have blamed the other side. I could have blamed the numbers. I could have blamed the limit. I could have blamed the space, whatever. And now I want to take you to 3 biblical stories of teshuvah. The first one is a story of Rosh Hashanah. And yet, strangely, we don't read the story on Rosh Hashanah. Not on the laning, not on Shabbat Shuvah, not on Yom Kippurim. But it's a story of Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we read this story, this narrative on Rosh Hashanah? To what do I refer? Briyas HaOlam, creation, Ma'aseh Bereishis, specifically Perek Gimel, chapter 3, Perek 1, Perek Aleph, the world's created. Beautiful. Hashem's an amazing creator. Perek Beis, a little bit more of creation. Man is fashioned, Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Makim Es Adam Afar Min Adama. Adam's created. Good. Around Perek Beis Pasuk Tesvav Tesayin, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Ala Adam Leimor Mikol Eitzagan Ochel Tochal Umipriha Eitz Asher Besoch Adam Lo Shochu Mimenu Ki Yamechacha Mimenu Mos Tamis. Around comes God with the first command to the first man The first man was created on Rosh Hashanah. God says, listen, two mitzvot. Eat from all the fruits of the garden, and don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. On the day you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will surely die. Adam didn't wait too long to eat from the Eitz Hadas, because an hour after he was created. Okay, so what happens? Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayipal Hashem Elokim Tardema al Adam Vayishan. Vayikach Achat Mitzalotav. What happens? God puts Adam into a sleep. He creates from the side bone a beautiful woman. Adam wakes up. Oh my gosh! Gevaldik zod hapam etzame atzamai ubabsari bsari lezoi kare isha ki me ish lukachazot. A gevaldik woman, the woman of the year. She is flesh from my flesh. She is bone from my bone. So I call her woman. She's created from man. Beautiful. The first couple. They're created on Rosh Hashanah. Everything's going great on the Shalom Bayis until the Nachash comes along. This all happens on Rosh Hashanah. But we don't read the story on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Choose it as Kriya Satara. We talk about the Akedah. We talk about Hagar being sent away. We talk about Chana in the Haftorah. Why aren't we talking about a story that actually happened on Rosh Hashanah? V'hanachash haya arum. We call Chayar Hasadar. Asher asah Hashem Elokim. The serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field that God Elohim made. Vayomer el ha'isha, af. He says to the woman, so, ki amar Elohim, mikol eitzagal no tochel. Did God say you can't eat from all the trees in the garden? So she says, oh no, you're wrong. Of course we could eat from all the trees in the garden. But there's one tree we can't eat from and we can't touch it. Now, God never said he can't touch it. So she already gets herself into trouble. She's over Baal Tosif. Don't add to the mitzvahs. Don't be so far from. He says, oh, that's not true. God knows on the day you eat from it. Yisim ke'elokim, yodea tovera. God doesn't want competition, says Rashi. Every artisan hates competition. If you eat from the tree, you'll be like God. Wow, I'll be like God. Now she starts to perseverate over this tree and she's thinking about it and she's looking at it and she's gazing at it. And she takes from the fruit. Batikach mepirio. Batere ha'isha. Kitov ha'etzamacha. V'nechmar hu le'enayim. And she takes from the fruit. Batochal and she eats. Batikin gam isha ima v'yochal. And she gives it to her husband and he eats. Honey, what's for supper? Have some fruit. It's all on Rosh Hashanah, so why do we read it on Rosh Hashanah? But they couldn't turn the Torah back to Bereishis Perek Gimel. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's a Rosh Hashanah story. They're created on Rosh Hashanah, they sin on Rosh Hashanah. Oh my God, they eat from the fruit, vayedu ke'erumim heim, they know they're naked, say Chazal naked from Mitzvos. What do? They take a fig leaf, alei te'ena, vayachbru lem chagorot, they sew belts. All of a sudden they're embarrassed by being naked. Just to tell you something cool, if you've ever learned with me, whether in person or online, if not, b'chor ha'bo for the first time. If you have, so you know I'm fascinated by Shorashim and Lashon HaKodesh. Absolutely fascinated. Shav and Karav was one small example. So I don't have time to go into it at all in depth, but there are two words for clothing. One is begadim. It's from the word bogeid, treason. Even today, use that word. They only needed clothing after they committed treason or trespass against God. This is not my own idea. I first learned it from Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kok, but it's brought down by others as well, Zatzal. Begadim is from the word bogei. They didn't need clothing. The last pasuk of Perek Beis tells us, Perek Beis pasuk of hey. Vayu shneim arumim, Adam v'ishto, v'lo yisposhushu. They were naked and they weren't embarrassed. There was no need for embarrassment before sin. There was no embarrassment. There was no shame. Shame comes from sin. So one word is begadim, from bogeid, because they committed trespass or treason against God. And the other word for clothing is malbush. Malbish arumim, we call God the malbish arumim. We say it every day in Berakas HaShachar, from busha. My daughter taught me that one. I just came back from seminary a couple months ago. Malbish arumim, it's from busha. What does the pasuk say to end the perak beis? Velo yispo shishu. When do they need malbish arumim? Once they have embarrassed themselves, busha, how have they embarrassed themselves? By eating from food. Just two small examples of how tremendous Lashon HaKodesh is and how important it is to focus on Shorashim when you're studying Chumash. Good? You with me? Everyone's with me? Amazing. Yeah.
Also me'il.
I cannot hear. Malky, what did she say?
The word me'il.
Beged?
No,
me'il. Me'il? Me'il? Like the Kohen Gadol's me'il? What did you say, Malky? What? The me'il. The me'il.
It's a coat. It's not a coat.
Yeah. Ma'al? Like you committed a trespass. Ma'al ba'ashem, like by the sota. She commits a trespass against God. Very nice. Okay? So I'll tell you, because you brought a me'il. The me'il is one of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, Parshas Tetzaveh. So when God makes clothing for Adam and Isha, at the end of Perek Gimel, Vayas Hashem Elokim L'Adam Ulishto Kosnos Or Vayabishem, 8 words on the Pasuk. So the Mefarshim say there's 8 words on the Pasuk connected to the 8 Big Day Kahuna. Because you only needed the Big Day Kahuna to atone for sin. Each one of the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the Me'il atones for Lashon Hara. Each one of the Begadim atones for a different sin, and that's why there's 8 words in the Pasuk that said God clothes Adam and his wife after the sin, and the Big Day Kahuna each atone for a different sin. Very nice. Ma'al Bahashem, the Sota commits a trespass. Very nice. Me'il, very, very nice. Beautiful. Okay. So they sew these fig leaves for themselves into belts. And now, Vayishmas Kol Hashem Elokim Mitalech Began L'Ruach Hayam. Wow, God's taking a walk in the garden. They're hiding in the trees. They think they could hide from God. And God's taking a walk in the garden. Why is he taking a walk in the garden? I'll tell you 2 different interpretations. One of Salvecha quotes a Medrash. He's leaving. Ikar Shechina Be'al Yonim. God cannot be in the presence of sin. You people are sinners. I can't be with you anymore. He's going up to leave. But the second Medrash quoted by Rav Shimshon Pinkus is that God is presenting himself to Adam to do teshuva. Remember I told you, teshuva means karav. Hashem is coming close. He doesn't want to run away from them. You're my children. I know you messed up. And now I'm going to come close so you could do teshuva. My daughter went to Shabbos Shuva Shir yesterday by one of her former teachers from TMM. And she gave such a good mashal about teshuva. Let's say a child, you know, doesn't listen to the parents. And he steals the car keys. And he goes out late on a Saturday night with the parents' car, 12:30 a.m. And the parent is very angry and he stole my car keys. Now the police call at 2:30 in the morning saying, your child was in a car accident. It wasn't fatal, but your child's in a car accident. What parent in their right mind is going to say, well, I'm not going to go help my child. Let them figure it out on their own because they stole my car. You have to be crazy, delinquent, abusive parent. Of course you're going to go to the scene to help your child. So we mess up. We stole the car keys. We got into a crash. We sinned. God doesn't want to help us. He's not only Malkeinu, he's also Avinu. Karav, Shav, Vayishma, Kol Hashem Elokim, Metalech, Begat, Neruach Hayam. He's coming close, he wants him to repent. Kindlech, I know you made a mistake, I know you're in a car crash, I want to help you. So God says to Adam, where are you? First question in the world, on the first Rosh Hashanah in the world, Ayecha. Oh, wow. As kol chashamati began, you know, I heard your voice in the garden. The ear I was afraid, va'achave, so I hid. I'm naked. So God says, really? Mi higidecha ki eirum anta? Who told you you're naked? Hamina eitz, asher tzivisicha levelte achami mena achalta? Maybe, perchance, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And now is the most fundamental moment in the history of humanity, from the time of my separations. It's wonderful to have Azivarachei, Kabbalah, Allah, Atid, Charata, and Vidui. But if you're not willing to be self-aware and accept responsibility for personal change, it's all worthless. Well, says Adam, I didn't really eat from the fruit. Ha'isha. I don't know. I came home. I said, what's for supper? She said, have some fruit. So it's your fault, God. The woman that you, God, gave me, kan kafui betova, says Rashi, she gave me from the fruit and I ate it. Adam had a chance to do teshuva. All he had to say was, it was me. He said it was her. He said it was God. But it wasn't me. So then the very next pasuk tells us that God goes to Isha and he says, Mazor Asif, what did you do? So what does she say? Oh, it wasn't me. Hanachash Yishiyani Ve'ochal. It was him, the Nachash. He gave it to me. And there's two people in the whole world. They have two mitzvah. Eat from the fruits of the garden. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's it. And they don't have the courage to say, it was me. Why don't we read this story in Rosh Hashanah? It's not a good illustration of teshuva. It doesn't teach us the path to repentance. It teaches us how to deny wrongdoing. It doesn't teach us anything about self-awareness. This is not the story of teshuva karav shav. Parak Lamed Zayin Bereishis, Reuven. Reuven's the bachar of Yaakov and Leah. He's a very interesting biblical personality. He's the bachar, but he's not able to live up to the kochot inherent in being the firstborn. Pachas kamayim al tosar, alisa mishkavei avicha, says Yaakov Avinu in Birkas Yaakov to Reuven Perak mem tasa bereishis. What happened? There's an interesting cryptic story at the end of Perak Lamed Hei in Bereishis. After Rachel dies, you're with me? Rachel dies, the favorite wife. Rachel's dead, excuse me. She's buried in Kever Rachel. Reuven, the Bachar, is very insulted. Why is he insulted? Because Yaakov used to usually leave his bed in Rachel's tent. But after Rachel died, Yaakov took his tent, and where did he put it? In Bilhah's tent. Who's Bilhah? Shifchas Rachel. So Reuven says, well, it's bad enough that Rachel upstaged my mother, but the Shifcha of Rachel should upstage my mother. So he took Yaakov's bed, and what did he do with it? He puts it in Leah's tent. Yaakov, at the end of his life, criticizes him for this. Alisa al mishkavei avicha. Okay, fast forward like 8 years. That's at the time that Binyamin was born. Now we go to Perek Lamed Zayin of Bereishis. It's the sale of Yosef. Reuven has a very interesting role. We don't have time for the Midrashim. Okay. He wants to save Yosef, but he doesn't. He's not successful in saving him. Yosef is sold. The Pasuk tells us, and I want to quote it for you exactly, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Vayashav Reuven El Habor, after the sale of Yosef, Vayashav Reuven, Vayashav, Chazal are very, very nuanced to language and Shorashim in Torah. The Pasuk says, Vayashav Reuven El Habor. What's the root word of Vayashav? Not only return, but also Teshuvah. Vayashav Reuven El Habor, it's Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chavtas, V'hini Ein Yosef Babor. Vayikra et bigadav. Interesting. He tore his, an allusion to the fact that he committed a trespass or a treason in his role as firstborn. Let's not fall off the stage. Vayikra et bigadav. He tears his clothing. He committed a trespass, a treason. You're the Bachar, you should have saved him. Madras says, Madras Megillus Rus Rabbah, had Reuven known that the Torah would have written, Vayatzileu miyadav, Reuven saved Yosef, he would have carried him home on his shoulders. But he didn't. Now he comes back to the pit. He's been sold to the Ishmaelim, the Sochrim, the Midyanim. Yosef's not in the pit. So he tears his clothing. What's he going to do? Vayashav Elachav, next pasuk, Vayashav. He returns to his brothers and he says, Hayalad Einenu, Va'ani Ana Anibo. The child is not here. Where should I go? How could I go home to father? Why does it say Vayashav El Habor? He returned to the pit. So I'm going to quote Rashi. Ubemechira Solo Hayasham. At the time of the sale of Yosef, he wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? Shehi, I don't want to redo the first interpretation. Asu kaya besako uvita aniso al shabilbel yitzue aviv. Chazal are telling us that Reuven wasn't present by the time of the sale because he's in sackcloth and fasting because he switched his father's bed. Sackcloth and fasting are a sign of what? Teshuva. Vayetze Mordechai perek dalet pasuk alef of Esther, Vayetze Mordechai besochayir, Vayikra begodav, Vayizak za'aka gedol omera. It's a sign of fasting. He tears his, a sign of teshuva. He tears his clothing. He's busy with sakaso v'ta'aniso al shabibel yitzuei aviv. Okay? What's he doing? He's doing, you with me? Teshuva. Why is he doing teshuva? Why is he doing teshuva? Who's talking? Raise your hand. Yeah.
Because Dan Sam's brother.
Whoa.
He's doing teshuva al shebibel yitzuei aviv. Because why? He switched Yaakov's bed from the tent of Bilhah to the tent of Leah. Yes? He's doing teshuva. How do Chazal know he's doing teshuva? Because it says vayashav. So Rashi and Mechumash aren't an accident. He returned. What's the problem? How many years ago did that event happen, that he switched the beds? Rachel dies in childbirth with Binyamin. That was 8 years ago. Why are you doing teshuva now, 8 years later? If you felt bad that you did it, so do it then. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a tremendous pshat. And he says as follows. Sometimes we do not see the impact of our actions until many years later. Reuven thought what he did was relatively minor. But he undermined his father's authority 8 years earlier when he moved the bed from Bilhah's tent to Leah's tent. And in the eyes of the brothers, he demoted Yaakov as the patriarch of the family. Their actions of selling Yosef, the Ben Zakunim, could not have happened without Reuven's undermining Yaakov's authority in his own home. When did Reuven realize how disastrous his actions were? Only when the brothers sold Yosef and they undermined Yaakov's authority in his own home. When did Reuven realize how wrong he was? 8 years later, when the brothers, on a much grander scale, rebel against Yaakov Avinu. What do we learn from Reuven? Chazal say Tamid Lamed Beis Aleph, Masechus Tamid Lamed Beis Aleph, Ezu Chacham Eroas Sandobar. Who is a wise person, one who sees the outcome of their actions? I find it's one of the hardest things in Avodas Hashem. I'm not a Navi. How do you know what the right decision is to do all the time? Ezu Chacham Eroas Sandobar. Reuven did not appreciate the significance of a seemingly minor act of moving the couch until 8 years later. And the brothers undermined the actions, undermined the authority of Yaakov Avinu. And that's why at this time only, Asakav b'sakaso v'sakiso v'ta'aniso, he's busy with sackcloth and fasting, because he realized that our actions will always be there. Like a ripple effect, when you throw a stone into water and it skips across the water. Even many years later, something negative we do can have disastrous consequences. The flip side is something positive we do can have wonderful consequences. We also don't read that story in Rosh Hashanah. What story do we read? And now we go to the third biblical narrative. This whole 40-day period is almost over. You know, I know mostly the women aren't in shul at the time that this biblical narrative is read. It's unfortunate, but that's what it is. Maybe this year it'll be there. It's Mincha. The sun is setting. Don't you imagine the gates are closing? My grandfather writes in his memoirs, which is called In Seven Camps in 3 Years, we came back from a hard day of slave labor, and we gathered in the barracks so Ne'ilah could be davened with a minyan. And the gates are closing. And God's taking the signet, the seal, the divine stamp, and he's about to stamp your book. And we read the book of Yonah. It's the climax of these 40 days. We don't read about Adam. It wasn't me, it was her. It wasn't her, it was you. It wasn't her, it was the snake. And we don't read about Reuven, because he undermined Yaakov's authority and he didn't even realize until 8 years later how poisonous what he did was. Now you're doing teshuva. Now it's too late. Now they're sold. We read about Yonah. Yonah is a very interesting biblical personality. The whole story is only 4 prakim long, like Megillat Ruth, which we read on Shavuos. He had a very short prophecy. God sends him to Nineveh. Od arbaim yom Nineveh nepecha. That's all he has to say. 5 words. That's the whole thing. A prophet who is kolvesh nevu aso is chayiv misa. A prophet's not allowed to withhold prophecy. He's liable for the death penalty. So Yonah's told to go to Nineveh. And instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish. No, thank you. By the way, talking about Sharashim, Yonah ben Amitai. Amitai is Emet, truth. A prophet must speak the truth. Look how much we're learning in such a short time. It's amazing. Baruch Hashem. Even if I'm tired before I go into Shir, which I wasn't so tired today, but even if I'm tired, I'm not tired as soon as I say you shouldn't be tired. It's amazing. Kehem chayenu v'arach yamenu v'hem nega yama v'layla. So he doesn't want to go. Thank you. Not me. Find somebody else. I like what you said about Mi'il and Ma'al. Very nice. I'm serious. I'm not joking. So he goes to Yafo, which I just think is very cool, that even in biblical times, Yafo was a port city, because it's still a port city. And he buys a ticket because he's going to Tarshish. And now there's a big storm because Jonah's running away from God. You cannot hide from God. Listen very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. It's the same story as Adam. The exact same story as Adam. Two biblical personalities. God tells them directly what to do. They both don't listen. Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas. Forget whose fault it was or wasn't. He eats from the Eitz Hadas. God said, don't you dip. God tells Yonah, go to Nineveh. He says, thank you. I'm going to Tarshish. It's the same story. They both hide from God. Adam and Isha hide amongst the trees of the garden. Yonah hides in the belly of the ship. He goes to the belly of the ship and he goes to sleep. They're both hiding. They both sin. They're both running away from God. One is a story we read and the other is a story we don't. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We missed a very good part. I love Torah. I really love Torah. And I really love teaching Torah. So I'm really appreciative that you invited me tonight. Thank you. They're the exact same story. They're the exact same story. But the end is totally different. He's sleeping. Because he's hiding from God and he hid from God. So there's a storm. And the Medrash says the storm was only over this ship. All the other ships in the Mediterranean, clear skies when I was driving this afternoon. There was a lot of rain. Imagine if there's only rain over Micha Horowitz's car, a lot of heavy rain. My son looks at me and says, Mommy, are you okay? Because my kids know I don't like when to drive when it's heavy raining. Imagine if there's only rain over my car and all the other cars are in blue sky. God's clearly trying to tell me something. That would be pretty strange. Only one ship has a storm. And all the other ships are clear sailing on the sea. So all the sailors start throwing things overboard. Just another cool shoresh. Vayu ha-melachim. The sailors were afraid. Why are sailors called melachim? Mem, lam, and ches. It's from the word salt. Because they sail salty seas and they catch fish in the salty sea. Fine. They're afraid. They see that, oh my God, we're all going to die. V'haniach chishval hishaver. The ship's about to capsize. So the captain decides he's going to the one guy who's sleeping. Everyone on the ship is calling out to their gods. And Yonah's sleeping. Vayikrav elav Rav HaChovel. The captain of the ship knocks on Jonah's door. And he says to him, Malacha nirdom, why are you sleeping? Kum, get up. Kra el Elokecha, call out to your God. Everyone else up there is davening to their evil desire. Try yours. Ula yisasheis lan Elokim v'lo nevav. Maybe God will have mercy on us and we won't be lost. Yonah's not so interested. The Rav HaChovel says, who are you? What nation are you from? What's your work? Ma malachtecha? Vayomer ivri anochi. Ve'et elokea shamayim ani yare. Asher asaha yom v'asayar basha. Ki yodea ani. Shebishvili. Hasar ha-gadol hazeh aleichem. He could have said, you know, this ship is full of idol worshippers. You're asking me why there's a storm. You're asking me what to do. All the idol worshippers should throw their avodah zarah overboard because even the B'nai Noach have a mitzvah. One of the Shev mitzvahs B'nai Noach is not to worship avodah zarah and the storm will stop. I could have said, I had a space limitation, the machatun wouldn't allow it, I couldn't invite extra, second cousins weren't included, I could have made a million excuses. Maybe the most powerful statement of these 40 days, and we're doing a lot of davening. Avinu Malkeinus, the David Hashem Ori, the Slichos. My husband is at Slichos Motzei Shabbos. He had to go to Eretz Yisrael, very unfortunately, for a very short trip to be Menachem Avo, our young Nefteres, close cousin. He went to Slichos Motzei Shabbos, Sfari Slichos at the coast. He said when he thinks he couldn't be inspired anymore, he said words cannot possibly describe it. We're doing a lot of davening. But maybe the most powerful words of the entire 40 days. Ki yodea ani shebishvili hasar hagadol hazeh aleichem. You know what Yonah said? It's my fault. You know what the difference between the story of Adam that we don't read and the story of Yonah that we do read is? They both were mitzuveh. They both spoke to God face to face, so to speak. Even though really Moshe was upon him, fine. Let's not belittle at this exact second. They both had one command. They both sinned. They both hid from God. And yet Yonah ultimately has redemption and goes to Nineveh, where they do teshuvah. And Adam's kicked out of the Garden of Eden and brings mortality to the world. Because Adam says, it was her and it was you. And Isha says it was Nachash. And Yonah says, it was me. It takes great, great, great courage in our lives to look at what's broken. Bein Adam la'atzmo, bein Adam la'chaviro, and bein Adam la'mako. And to emulate Yonah ben Amitai, to speak the MS. Not what can everyone else do to improve. What can I, one person, a servant of God, do to improve? And hopefully, unlike Reuven, the ramifications and ripple effects of our actions through the doros, through the years, our positive ones are those around us. If they're not, teshuvah is never too late. Every person must have the courage to say, Ki yodea ani, Shabishvili Hasar Hagadol Hazai Aleichem. Azivat Hachait, Kabbalah Al Ha'atir, Charata, Vidui, Adshe Yiratzes Chaveiro Mechila, all of which are outgrowths of the root of self-awareness. And Bezrat Hashem, if we can learn the Tanakh like the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to learn it, I realize that it's not an ancient text. It's not 24 books sitting on some bookshelf in an ancient library that no one's ever picking up again. It's about us, every day, every century, every millennia, our own personal lives. And hear what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, then we will be able to fulfill. Ki karov eilacha hadavar me'od b'ficha u'bilvavcha la'asoso. I wish you all Gmar Chasima Tova. I thank Jordana so much for organizing this year. Have a wonderful Yom Tov, a Chag Samech, Be'ezra Hashem. Thank you, everybody. B'sor Sova. Yes, Mindy.
I have a question. I know you said you don't do halacha, but one thing I've learned is if you say you're sorry three times and the person doesn't accept it, I've always heard you don't have to do it again.
Oh, the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Teshuva Parak Beis Halacha Tas. That a person is obligated to ask their friend Mechila. If they don't forgive, then you have to bring, like a Beis Din, you have to bring along two other friends with you, once, twice, thrice. And if he doesn't ask Mechila, you're absolved. But it has to be true Mechila and the true Teshuvah process. Not lip service, not because you don't want an X in God's book. You really mean it. And the Rambam goes as far as to say, is if he does not grant Mechila, then he is the sinner. Okay? But the Rambam says, if it's your Rebbe, a person has to ask 1,000 times. There's never, you don't have to go with a basing. That's different. But you're correct. Okay, Besuras Tovos. Thank you, everybody. Yes?
Can you just translate that one sentence you repeated?
I can hear. I'm sorry.
Can you translate the sentence you said a few times that Yonah said?
Ki yodea ani, because I know, shebishvili, it is because of me, hasar hagadol hazeh aleichem. This great storm has come upon you. Ah, oh, by the way, if you're still listening, I always say Vartach B'Shem Amar. I'm not trying to take any credit for what's not my own. That's the Brisker Rav. Thank you for asking, so I was able to say it. It's still on the recorder. Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Salvechik is one who points out that insight. because I know that because of me, this great storm is upon you. Could have said to the sailors, you're all idol worshippers. It's because of you. He said, it's because of me. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Laila Tov.
Thank you.